Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to continue our consideration of what are called the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are the attitudes of Jesus as he walked here and as he took on our burdens here. And it says in the scripture that we are to have the mind of Christ. And the way we have the mind of Christ, one list that you can look at as the mind of Christ is the very list that you're looking at this morning. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 3 and going through verse 10. This morning we will consider one of those verses, which is Matthew 5, 7. I want you to help me with another little quiz this morning. And I'd like for you to complete this sentence, all right? Are you ready? What goes around... Yeah, everybody knows that, don't they? There's something in my old nature that really likes it when some jerk gets his comeuppance. Are you like me? There's something in me that just... That's cool. But I admit that that really is my old nature that is doing that. Our human nature loves it when our enemy falls. What the Lord is teaching us in this wonderful beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive what? Mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Now, the fact is, we really don't like to give mercy to everybody. It's not in our nature, in our old nature, to want everyone to escape suffering. To be like him is not to enjoy it when our opponent loses. It says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17, when your enemy falls, do not let your heart be glad. Isn't that an amazing verse? When your enemy falls, you can jump and say, karma, karma. But it says in the Bible, don't let your heart be glad when your enemy fails. This is the difference between human nature and Christ's nature. When you became born again, you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the gift of eternal life. Some amazing things happen inside you that you did not necessarily feel, but certainly did happen. One of the things that happened was the Holy Spirit came inside you and you became the temple of the Holy Spirit at that very moment. Another thing that happened is he gave you a new nature, the same nature that Jesus himself has. And it's by that we can be Christ-like. The old nature that I got from Adam enjoys it when other people are hurt and they are do it. But my new Jesus nature is not like that again at all. When the Lord Jesus came into me and I was born again, well, what happened was I have a capacity to actually not enjoy it when other people fail, even when they're my enemy. The desire for my enemy to escape loss has a name. If I want my enemy to escape loss as a result of their behavior or whatever, attitude, that's called mercy. Mercy is about payment. Getting what you deserve because you didn't do what was right and thereby you lose something. If we react to someone else's loss, whether they're our friend or our enemy, then we are practicing what Jesus practiced. It's called mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The word merciful is a descriptive adjective. And it describes Jesus' heart towards sinners. And it's a good thing because we're all sinners. Jesus has a soft heart toward those who oppose him. We stood at one time in a position where we are opposed to the Lord. And if you've come to Jesus and now you consider him your Lord, then you are a friend, actually a child of God. And no longer are you seen as an opponent of him. But there was a time when you were, and he pitied you even then. The Lord Jesus has compassion for us. And he did something about it. He didn't just feel it. He did something about it. He so pities us that he stepped right in and paid our sin bill for us. And he died in our place. Why did he do that? Well, we know it's because he loves us. But we know it also because he's a merciful Savior. Jesus came into the world not to be served, but to serve and to save. As a matter of fact, that's what the name Jesus means, Savior, in the original language. This word in the original language does tell us about mercy. Jesus is moved by compassion for losers. And when you lose your health, whether you're a believer or not a believer, you know what? Jesus cares. And when you lose your job, whether you're a believer or not a believer, you know what? Jesus cares. And when your closest friend or your companion leaves, do you know what? Jesus cares. He has compassion for you. Mercy is the kind of thing that has in its heart that desire to pay or rescue a person who's in trouble. This attitude is what Jesus is calling us to. Everyone here, Jesus is a calling for you, and his calling is that you will practice mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now, that's quite a prophecy, isn't it? It says, they shall receive mercy. That's in the future. They shall receive mercy. That's an amazing prophecy. But it's not just a prophecy, it's also a promise. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You see, if you practice mercy in your attitude and in your behavior, it's going to make your future in judgment a whole lot better. So I have good news for you this morning, my friends. And the good news, at least one part of the good news, is that you can increase the mercy you are going to receive in the judgment. Isn't that good news? You have the opportunity to bring about God's leniency toward your shortcomings. And the way that you can make God more lenient in his judgment is by practicing mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now I'm going to give you this morning four reasons that you ought to be, it's in your best interest, but you ought to be a merciful person. The first one is this: the church is not like Jesus until mercy is its reputation. I want you to think about that. The church is not like Jesus until mercy is its reputation. Have you noticed that churches are declining and declining and declining? And we think that the reason they're declining and declining and declining is because the world is just getting so bad and we're getting snuffed out. That's not the reason. The gospel hasn't gotten weak. We are not in a worse situation than they were in Rome. The reason is most churches are very critical of one another. And people are sick of that. People don't go to church to be beaten down. People don't go to church to be criticized, to hear all the bad things that they are. Though we certainly have problems with sin, we certainly do. But the fact is that people crave acceptance. And they are repelled by criticism and judgmentalism. So I want to assert this morning that many churches are small for the simple reason, the presence of a critical spirit. It doesn't take very long for the poison of people judging one another to just, the attendance just falls away. We know many of these, don't we? If we wanted to cite some evidence this morning, many of you could stand up and say, yeah, that happened at this church, and that happened at this church, and that happened at this church. And it's true. And that's why I want to say this morning, the church is not like Jesus until mercy is its reputation. Who are the people who ought to be among us? Well, the lepers. Is that who Jesus ministered to? But you see, churches, they get a little uncomfortable when those kind of people show up. You know, the people have a drinking problem. People have a drug problem. The people have various addictions. Many churches don't want those people. But who did Jesus hang out with? Tell me. Matter of fact, the Pharisees, they hated Jesus for the simple reason that he hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors, which are worse than prostitutes in the mind of the people of that day. And the reason was that tax collectors, under the Roman system, they could collect however much money they wanted to. It was extortion. And they were required to give the Roman government a certain amount. But if they saw you crossing a bridge, they could say, hey, there's a tax for that. And it's this much. It's not this much. It's this much. And what would the tax collector do? Keep the money. Extortion. And that was common. We don't have to approve other people's looks. We do not have to approve other people's behaviors or their attitudes in order to show them mercy. Many people have the false idea that if I accept someone who's a sinner, then I'm going to be tainted with their sin. Jesus never had to worry about that. Why do we worry about that? This was one of the false beliefs of the Pharisee. They believed if I don't criticize transgressors, it will look like I approve of their sin. This is a false belief. If you don't criticize a sinner, I'm not going to conclude that you approve of their sin. I'm going to conclude that you're a merciful person. Know this principle from Jesus. This is very important. Acceptance of another is not approval of their shortcomings. If people come here and they don't do the socially acceptable things, that's okay. We're still going to love them. It doesn't matter about their orientation or their marriage past. It doesn't matter about all the list of things that we can make that modern day Pharisees still make. Why do Pharisees do that? Well, the reason that Pharisees do that is because they believe that if they shun people who are quirky, who are not spiritual, quote, quote, then it's going to look like I'm not a good person. And that's what the Pharisees were really about, is it's all about my appearance. So I want to invite you to join me. Let's not be offended by other people's sins. Let's not be offended by that. Let's accept people, no matter what their sins are. That doesn't mean we approve of the sin. It just means we love them and we are exercising mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You know, when a sinner comes among us, someone who doesn't look like us, walk like us, quack like us, let's not expect them to. Let's expect them to be sinners, because that's what they are. And let's love them, realizing that we are sinners too. We just have a different stripe of it. If you want to be strong in accomplishing the Great Commission, and that's what we should really care about, start with this one thing, this one attitude that Jesus tells us to do, and that is be merciful. You know, if you exercise mercy from your heart, people can sense it, your genuineness. And if you do that, you know what? It will be a magnet to the lost and the hurting. Because everyone wants to be accepted and loved. Why aren't churches packed? Because they go in a church and they feel like, wow, they're judging me. They're critical of me. They're putting me down. They make me feel like I don't fit. The fact is that Jesus' arms are open wide. And the reason that people don't want to go to church often is because that's the very place that they feel the most judged in all the world. And that absolutely should not happen in the Church of Jesus Christ. The opposite of a Great Commission church is a bunch of negative, critical, look down your nose upon kind of people. Am I more righteous if I put other people down around me? Am I more righteous that way? Absolutely not. I'm less righteous. And Jesus told the Pharisees this over and over again. The Pharisees haven't died, by the way. They just changed their name. Do you know that Jesus hates the attitude of enjoying pointing out another's shortcomings? Jesus hates that. But we practice it, don't we? Because we have an old nature. Say yes. Confess. It's true. We look at certain people and we feel uncomfortable with how they live, and then we have attitudes about it, and then we make comments about it. God calls the opposite of this mercy. What is mercy? And let's try to get our head around what mercy really is. The opposite of mercy, the Bible calls haughty eyes. God hates haughty eyes. And what are haughty eyes? Well, Proverbs 21, verse 4, you might make a note of this. Proverbs 21, verse 4 teaches us that a high look from one person down on another person is an indicator of a proud heart. That's what it says in Proverbs 21, 4. When you see a street bum, what is your automatic judgment? What is your automatic thought? What's the first thing you think when you see someone who's a street bum? Our old nature, the first thing we do is we have a conclusion on what that person's been doing. You don't know, we just have the conclusion. Someone's asking for money. We don't know if they really need money or if they're scamming us, but what's our very first thought? We assume things that is not very merciful. Be careful, my friends. Jesus did not come to save the self-sufficient. Jesus came to save the insufficient. He came to save losers that he called sinners. I used to teach school in Huntington, in a public school. And I would get so upset at some of the kids. They were so lax and they'd sleep through class. And insolent acting people. And I complained to the assistant principal, who was a very stern woman. And I complained to her, and in private, she had me come to her office and she said, I want you to get a sense of perspective here. She said, I know for a fact that five of the kids that you teach in your rotating classes, five of those kids slept in their car last night. It began to give me some perspective. And the more I found out about their lives and their family and what they went through, it began to change my heart, and God convicted me, and I realized I need to be merciful. There are seven attitudes that God hates. Have you read them before in Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to read them very quickly. First, haughty eyes. Second, a lying tongue. Third, hands that shed innocent blood. Fourth, a heart that devises wicked plans. The next one is feet that are quick to rush into evil. And the next one is a false witness who pours out lies, who makes up lies about other people. And then the last one, a person who stirs up conflict in the community. You don't know any of those, do you? You know, social media, drama. But I want you to go back and look at my list that I just gave you. That's really God's list that is found in the book of Proverbs. Seven great things that God hates that are evil. And the very top of the list was what? Haughty eyes. Looking down on other people. God hates that more than all those other things. It's first. A critical spirit. Business research has revealed that every dissatisfied customer is a real big problem. As a matter of fact, research has been done quite extensively and over again that reinforces what was found, and that is every customer who loves the product that they buy and they are happy with the service they got, do you know how many people they go out and tell about it? One. On average, one. Now, let's change the survey question. For every customer that does not like the product they got or is dissatisfied with their customer service, do you know how many people they tell about their negativity? Guess how many? 10. For every person that's happy, and if you're in business, you should be listening to this. For every person that is happy, the people are only going to go out and tell one other person on average, statistically. But if they're not happy, they're going to go tell 10 people what happened. Do you think the same thing is true of the church? Think about it. If people are not happy because they feel judged and unaccepted, do you think they go out and just keep their mouth shut about it? Oh, no. It's probably more than 10. One reason that we ought to be merciful people is the church is not like Jesus until mercy is its reputation. Beulah will continue to grow as long as love and mercy is considered to be the reputation of this family. And when that changes, we're going to wonder where everybody went. Not only does lack of mercy hinder our ability to accomplish the Great Commission, but here's another reason to be merciful. Are you ready? I will only receive mercy to the degree that I give mercy. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, that's a pretty big reason for me. I want mercy. How many here want mercy? Yeah, you're signing up right now. People say, yeah, I'll take some mercy. It's a powerful reason to be merciful. Jesus prophesied and promised that the merciful are the ones who will receive mercy. Now listen to this. This is from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And according to the word, being merciful is a prerequisite to true worship. You aren't really worshiping if you don't have a merciful heart. Listen to this. What does the Lord require? And listen to his answer to the question, do justly and give mercy. And that's in the context about worship. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says, this is God speaking, I desire mercy more than sacrifice. Mercy first. I am acting out godliness when I'm showing mercy. Luke chapter 6, verse 36 says, be merciful like your Father in heaven is merciful. You see, we're being godly when we're merciful. We're not letting people off the hook. It's not our point. It's not up to us to punish and judge them anyway. We're not letting anybody off the hook. No one's getting off the hook. But some people are going to receive mercy because they were merciful to others. Now I'm going to stop there just a moment, and I'm going to have Carol come. And Carol is going to read to you from Matthew. Come on, Carol. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 and following. She's going to read you a story that Jesus told about this.
Good morning. I'm reading from Matthew 18:23. God's kingdom is like a king who decided to collect the money his servants owed him. The king began to collect his money. One servant owed him several thousand pounds of silver. He was not able to pay the money to his master, the king. So the master ordered that he and everything he owed be sold, even his wife and children. The money would be used to pay the king what the servant owed. But the servant fell on his knees and begged, "Be patient with me. I will pay everything I owe." The master felt sorry for him, so he told the servant he did not have to pay, and he let him go free. Later, that same servant found another servant who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him around the neck and said, "Pay me the money you owe me." The other servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, I will pay everything I owe." But the first servant refused to be patient. He told the judge that the other servant owed him money, and that the servant was put in jail until he could pay everything he owed. All the other servants saw what happened. They felt very sorry for the man. So they went and told their master everything that happened. Then the master called his servant in and said, "You evil servant, you begged me to forgive your debt, and I said you did not have to pay anything. So you should have given that other man who serves with you the same mercy I gave you." The master was very angry, so he put the servant in jail to be punished. And he had to stay in jail until he could pay everything he owed. The king did the same as my heavenly Father will do to you. You must forgive your brother and sister with all your heart, or my heavenly Father will not forgive you.
Thank you. You can have it.
I didn't want it.
Thank you. Now, what happened in the story? The person who was forgiven would not forgive, and as a result, what happened to them? Yeah, he was thrown into prison. He didn't receive mercy. He would have received mercy. As a matter of fact, he was given mercy. But such as it is, there's a third reason very quickly that we ought to give mercy to other people. And that is because each of us will be judged like we judge others. Now you think about your own attitude about people. Think about it. Are you ever critical? Are you ever looking down your nose, judging other people? You are making the measuring stick whereby Jesus is going to measure you. Did you know that you get to make your own measuring stick for judgment? You know the practice of the wise mother from history past whose two boys were fighting, and she told the oldest boy, "Go cut a switch for your brother's spanking." And what do you think the older boy did? Yeah, he got a big switch. And who do you think mother used it on? Exactly the same thing is going to happen at the Bema Seat. People are going to lose because they did not choose to be merciful. Did not our gracious Lord Jesus say, "Judge not, and you will not be judged? For with the same judgment that you judge, you will be judged"? And then there's a fourth reason, the last one I want to give you right now, that you ought to be a merciful purpose in practice and attitude. And that is, Satan destructively advances when we judge others' motives. One of the things the church must learn to stop doing is judging why other people do things. You don't know. We don't know why people do what they do. But we love to give them credit for what we think their motive is. And this is wicked. It's part of what Jesus is talking about. The self-righteous publican prayed out in the public where everyone would hear him. Now listen to what he prayed. He's out in the public, he's in the public square, and he prays this very loudly so everyone can hear. Two men went up into the temple to pray, Jesus is telling the story. And here's what the one said. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm so happy that you made me one of your best ones. I'm not an extortionist. He was an extortionist. He was a tax collector, a publican. I'm not an unrighteous person. I'm not an adulterer. And he goes through his lists. That's what carnal Christians do. They go through their list, compare themselves to other people, and if they don't see evil, they assign evil because they guess their motives of why they're doing what they're doing. He goes on in his public prayer and he says, well, not only that, God, you're so lucky to have me, God. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of everything I get. Well, he finally got one thing right. I mean, he gave. He was a giving person, apparently. I'm sure he did it in the big temple square where they had the brass coffer where you put the coin and it went tinkle, 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 tinkle. Then he put another one, tinkle, 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 tinkle. Given, you know, his personality. The tax collector stood far off, and the other one, and he did not make a public prayer, and he did not make a public show. And he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner is what I am. And Jesus said, I tell you that this man went down to his home justified rather than the first man, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Satan is trying to bring God's program down. We're busy doing it. Satan's trying to bring it down. Don't give the enemy aid. Being an unmerciful person helps Satan. Don't help Satan. Don't give him aid. Christians can be used by Satan. You do know, don't you, that Satan can use you if you're not careful? Even Peter himself, Jesus turned around and said, Satan, get behind me. Because what did Peter do? He was trying to devise a way that Jesus not go to the cross. The very reason why he came. So here are the four reasons by which we should be merciful people rather than haughty-eyed people. Merciful people help accomplish the Great Commission. If that were the only one, it would be worth doing. But there are many more. I give you three. Also, merciful people will get mercy from God. Now, that's motivating. And merciful people will get more lenient judgment from God. And then we just saw that merciful people are not acting as God's enemy rather than Jesus' disciples. You can be a disciple of Jesus rather than enemy of Jesus. Now, here's what I want to ask you to practice as I close. And I do not want to make this sound like it's easy, because giving mercy is very costly. It costs money, it costs time, and it costs pride. You have to give some of it away. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you as a church family, look out for people, not down on people. Look out for people, not down on people. There are people who are going to come through our doors who don't look like us, smell like us, walk like us, and that needs to be just fine. Go looking for hurting people, as a matter of fact, and listen to them. You know, the greatest gift that you can give someone is the time just to listen. There's so many people who are hurting. Just listen. Take the time to sit down with them and just listen. What a gift. It gives people hope when you do that. It shows that you love them when you do that. Secondly, look for people who have needs and help them. There are people all... You would think that from the way that many of us act is that nobody ever has a need. Now, we had a lady in our congregation who was desperately to have furniture moved. And she didn't have any money to have it done. And she didn't have the ability to do it herself. And so three guys in the church went to her house and moved her furniture. They did it. That's what I'm talking about. Doing it. Look for people who have need and go do it. Thirdly, look for people who have failed and give them a second chance. Everybody who comes here needs a second chance. I need a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth. And I'm way down the list. I lost count. But everybody needs a second chance, and that's what we do. And let me tell you, my dear friends, God will greatly reward you. God knows what you have spent. Now, should you give in secret? Yeah, give in secret. Do it if you can. But God's going to greatly reward you. Here's my last verse. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Listen to this. This is very important. It says, God is fair. He will not forget what you have done. He will remember the love that you have shown Him. Now, how do you show love to God? By loving one another, obeying Him. And then he goes on in that same verse and he says, you showed it when you helped His people. You showed your love for God when you helped His people, the writer says. And you show it now when you keep on helping them. That's mercy. That's loving God. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask you to commit to be a merciful person, to throw away criticism from your life. This is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is given in these eight Beatitudes that Jesus gives. And that can be your mind too. Let this mind dwell in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Be merciful. Nobody's going to think that you approve of sin if you accept a sinner. So I want to ask you right now, will you commit to the Lord to be a merciful person? Will you commit to the Lord not to be a critical person about other people, especially those in the church of Jesus? Because if you can avoid that and you can really love people, we won't have to have attractive programs. People, you won't be able to keep them away. People need love so much. They need acceptance. Let's offer it. Let's do what Jesus did. Let's sacrifice for people. Will you talk to the Holy Spirit right now? And will you repent along with me? I had to repent this week in getting ready for this because there's certain things that I'm critical about. Will you repent too? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that we all grow up a little bit and not act immature, but that we will be people who give mercy. And thank you for the promise that you give us, that you have given us already, if we would just practice mercy. And we don't give people what they deserve. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to sing one verse of one song before we go. And that is, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. You know that song? Blessed be the tie that binds. Let's sing it together. Let's stand. And then we'll go out. We share We share our mutual woes, our and often for each other flows. God bless you. You're dismissed.